You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am back, and I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, thanks for holding down the fort. First, I got sick. Then Grandma died. It's been a wild week, but how did a week of doing shows straight for you go?
Not well. I'm pretty No, honestly, it was fine. It was nice to get back to the grind of things, and you know, nice to spend my last week of vacation before starting school full time again, and then also having like these two jobs and all that good stuff. It was nice to spend that entire week making sure that I was organizing podcasts and finding new guests last minute.
I was remember I asked you New Year's resolution, like how many shows you were hoping to make in a row. I think you hit that number. Like you've already accomplished your New Year's resolution. You have to be in like the 90th percentile of people who have met their resolution this year.
You know, I've always said this about myself, but I compare myself to Kobe Bryant a little bit in that just my level of preparation for things is off the charts, and I'm just incredibly dedicated. And you know, I'll do credit to my teammates, but for like setting me up to have to carry everything for the last week.
anytime. I'll try to get sick again.
Please don't. Month.
All right. So speaking of getting sick and being out for a prolonged period of time. Lonzo Ball has been out for a prolonged period of time, and if you heard Luke Walton speak, it would sound as if Lonzo isn't coming back anytime soon. So we're going to talk about that on the second half of the show, but we're going to lead the show with some positivity and some optimism and ask, hey, are things kind of looking up for the Lakers? They've won 6 of 8 quietly. They are currently on an technically, they're on a winning streak right now, having won 2 games in a row. And they seem to have found out ways to play without Lonzo, maybe not to the same extent, or maybe not to the same. They definitely don't have the same ceiling, but they haven't.
The big like the Balder brand era is upon us.
Yeah, they haven't.
What you're saying.
They haven't looked like the complete dumpster fire, trash Sharknado fire that they did before. When they were relying on Tyler Ennis, Alex Caruso has stepped up, and Harrison and I are going to talk about some optimism here. We're going to talk about what the Lakers should maybe do with that position, all that good stuff. So it's going to be a fun show for you today. Make sure, as always, you're following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Harrison is at Lakers Nation. I am at Lakers Outsiders. Harrison is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I am at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. But yes, let's go ahead and ask the question. Harrison, do you think things are kind of sort of looking up for the Lakers?
I do, actually, and I'm going to tell you why. So I joked before that the big Balder brand era had begun, but obviously, like, I mean, Alex Caruso has played well, but this is probably, like, his level of play might not be sustainable. I guess we'll see. But really the player that I think we have to credit for at least the Lakers win yesterday is Nigel Hayes. And he only played 1 minute, but in that 1 minute, he now leads the Lakers in net rating. They're outscoring opponents at a rate that would equal 50 points per 100 possessions. Just dominant in Nigel Hayes' minutes. And minute. And they need to. I want to see more of the kid. I think that's a pretty good start for a 10-day contract. But in all seriousness, actually, this time
shouts to Thomas Bryant, right? Because I would imagine his net rating went. I thought it was hilarious that Thomas.
He has an 11.5 net rating.
I love that Thomas Bryant stepped in and hit a three, and Ivica Zubac stepped in and bumbled a a post possession that led to a turnover. I thought that was kind of telling.
Yeah, Beats not looking as hot as yesterday.
I thought that was kind of telling for the way I look at the two players at this point. But yeah, go ahead. You were saying, in all seriousness, beyond Nigel Hayes' incredible impact on the Lakers.
Yeah, so if the Nigel Hayes thing turns out to be small sample size, unlikely, I know. But if it does, then I think the Lakers are still pretty well set up for success right now. And I think they might have found a little bit of a sustainable strategy. And, you know, it's not going to get them to the playoffs. It's not going to get them back to contention. But to be able to stay afloat and stay competitive with teams when Lonzo is out. Because in the past, like, they've stayed pretty competitive with teams while Ball is on the floor. They're only getting outscored by 1.2 points per 100 possessions while Ball is on the floor, which is one of the better rates among Lakers rotation players. But Caruso, Nance, and Clarkson have now all surpassed him after this recent stretch. And I don't think that that's a coincidence that they passed him during this play, because those guys have been good. And one thing that I've really liked that the Lakers have been doing is that they've really been pushing the pace a lot better without Lonzo. Previously this year, it's kind of been just a Lonzo thing where they're getting the ball to him, he's getting them into transition, and that's good. But when he's off the floor, they just haven't done as good of a job at that. And I've noticed, especially over the last two games, even Ennis, like, for all that we've crapped on him, was doing a better job of getting the ball up the floor quickly. And that message, you can just see, is starting to really like congeal with this young team, where they're starting to kind of understand that they need to, regardless of whether or not Lonzo is playing, they need to run the ball down other teams' throats and get out and transition and try and get something quick, because if they get into their half-court offense, they're kind of just screwed.
It's funny that Ennis figured this out as he probably lost his NBA job.
Yeah, well, you know, better late than never, I guess. next stop, he's going to have it nailed.
You made the point on the last show that you think that the Lakers should probably waive him at this point and give Caruso his roster spot. I completely agree with that. I have reached the point with Ennis that every time he's on the court, it's just counting down time until he's no longer on the court. And it's too bad that it's reached that point with Ennis. And I wish I felt a little bit better about watching him play, but that's enough. Enough is enough with this kid. We've seen Caruso step onto the court, and I would argue he's a better all-around player than Ennis. Not only is he a better fit because of playing style and all the and everything that you just said, but I think Caruso is a better all-in-all player, not just from a skill standpoint, but I think he works harder. Like, I watch Ennis multiple times.
He plays a lot harder than Ennis, or at least he plays in ways that appear to be playing harder than Ennis does.
Yeah, Ennis multiple times over the course of the season, I've seen him get beat to 50-50 balls. And if you are as unskilled and untalented as Tyler Ennis is, that cannot happen. You have to make up for it with effort. And I hate to sound like I'm speaking in code here, but the hashtag grit and all of that stuff. Like, you have to compete. And I just don't think he competes. And Caruso does. And I thought Caruso...
I'm going to be honest. It's a Canadian thing. It's not really in our nature. You know, I feel like I can speak for Tyler Ennis at this point as a fellow Canadian. And, you know, we just aren't grinders, Anthony. We like, you know, we like more peaceful methods of competition.
You can
like
get blogging. That all, eh?
Like, Tyler could be a great blogger, I'm sure.
Bro, you got a step on me. Way to go, eh?
You did that was the thing. Worst Canadian. Like, I'm going to cut. I legitimately may just cut that from the podcast. That was painful.
You probably should. That was not good. I've never actually done a Canadian accent.
That was really regrettable.
I've never even tried one. I don't know why I went there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good thing we have editing skills.
I'm not actually going to cut it. Oh. Just so you know.
Oh, great. Cool. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that then. The other thing too that I was going to say though about Caruso was that there was that stretch in the Lakers. It was ugly basketball. They couldn't throw a pea in the ocean, but they were just getting after it and getting after loose ball after loose ball after loose ball. Larry Nance Jr. was all over the place. Julius Randle was throwing people all over the place. Alex Caruso was getting. Jordan Clarkson was everywhere. And again, when you aren't as talented as other NBA teams are going to be, then you have to outwork them. You have to create a few more opportunities than you would have to if you were more efficient. And what I was watching from Tyler Ennis is that he isn't necessarily willing to do that. And hopefully, if he wants to continue to play in the NBA, he'll have to figure that out. He'll have to start working harder, or playing harder, and he hasn't. And at this point, it's time for him to move on. We also haven't seen your favorite guy currently on the roster, the Mitten, Gary Payton the second is, in my opinion, I think in the stretches that he's been out there, he's even looked better than Ennis. So even with Lonzo Ball out, and when Lonzo comes back, Payton the second will probably not play very much. But while he's out, I think you have your backcourt rotation of Caruso to Gary Payton the second to Jordan Clarkson playing a little bit of point guard every so often, and you make it work from there. But there is no reason to have Ennis on the court, and just in that aspect alone, things are looking up for the Lakers. The other reason that I think things are starting to look up is guys are going to start getting healthier. That's the hope as we near the All-Star break. And hopefully if they can get a little momentum going into the All-Star break with a favorable schedule, and they can get some guys back and have their full rotation to work with after the All-Star break, you might see a nice little stretch of basketball here, and it's something that frankly the Lakers have really needed, because they haven't had very many extended stretches of time where they have played the kind of basketball that people maybe hoped for when the season started.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is after the trade deadline, they might be able to, you know, see if there are any, like, you know, just like veteran shooters that end up getting excised as like part of like a numbers game on a roster or something like that. Or, you know, they might be able to find somebody, or they might even make a deal. Like, we could see a guy, like we talked about this on the show yesterday, we could see a guy like Clarkson on the move, and, you know, that, and maybe that would hurt the Lakers in the short term, but depending on what they got back, maybe it's like something they might have to find a different way to play, and who knows like what players they'd be getting back or if that would help. But like, you know, we've heard all these rumors all the year about Clarkson, Randall, Nance. And so I think it's like kind of important to also not get too high on this stretch of play, because the Lakers might be seeing a roster overhaul here. That's not like my reporting. That's just, you know, everything that's been out there. There are just enough rumors that where there's smoke, maybe there's some fire and they do make a move here.
Yeah. Pelinka addressed that a little bit, right? He said that they weren't going to make a move unless it really helped the Lakers long term. So that to me told me that the Lakers are not looking to improve their roster this year to get a couple extra wins, despite not tanking. And whenever he talks long term, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about 2018 cap space, and that would mean, like you're talking about, Jordan Clarkson potentially being on the move. They've already given up hope on trading Luol Deng. And I guess there are reports out there saying that they don't anticipate trading Julius Randle. So if you're Jordan Clarkson, you're probably playing really well, and you're doing so in an extended audition to the rest of the league. If they do move Clarkson, though, what kind of deal would you kind of want? I don't know if we've gone over this, but if there's no deal
I really want, but like, as far as what would they get? I mean, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I just think that Clarkson, the reason he might get dealt is just because the Lakers want to get out from under his salary, and he's not like your traditional like albatross where he just can't play. Like, he could clearly help a team, and he might be available for not that much, and so that's why I could see a Clarkson trade.
Yeah, I would say the kind of trade that I would anticipate would probably net some kind of veteran on an expiring deal, maybe a second rounder moving forward. But other than
that's like arguably, that's probably the best you're going to get. You might not even get the second rounder. And in which case, maybe the Lakers wouldn't do that just because of the, like, the look of it, and because they're clearly like they're trying to win some games. But I think at the same time, it's like Pelinka said, if it makes you better in the future, and their plan to get better in the future is very clearly free agency, then they might be looking at getting an expiring like that, and like the, as improvement for the future.
Yeah. Anything that you've seen from any of the other guys that gives you any source of optimism moving forward?
No, I think Julius Randle clearly has like stepped up when needed for a bigger role, which I think is, I guess, somewhat encouraging for the Lakers play. But like overall, and then like Brooke Lopez has been shooting really well, and that front court is just like, you know, everybody was saying going into the year that it made sense, and it just hasn't been used a whole lot. And so I think that that is, you know, I think that those two guys like playing well together is probably good news for the Lakers, and that's probably something that can help them moving forward with or without Lonzo in the lineup.
Yeah, the big thing is, look, all of their creative stuff or creativity is going to come from probably either the wing position or the big position, so long as Lonzo is out. And to me, what I have seen recently from those positions, I've liked how Julius Randle has played. Larry Nance Jr. and Julius Randle were out there for the first time in a
long time.
Yeah,
that was kind of shocking. That's been really bad all year, but it was actually good yesterday. So well, I don't know that that's really like a sustainable thing.
I don't know if it's necessarily sustainable the way that we saw it in that Knicks game. It looked to me like the Knicks kind of quit on the game at one point. But
by the fourth quarter, the Knicks had 100% quit on defense.
Yeah. But what I did see from Larry Nance Jr. and Julius Randle was, I thought that was the smartest that those two have played together, where they kind of recognized, okay, we aren't going to full-on overhelp on everything. Defensively, I thought they played within themselves, which sometimes I could see it being kind of hard on a young team to try to play within yourself when you're playing small ball, because you think to yourself, okay, we just have to outwork everything, and sometimes that leads to overworking, and I didn't see that as much from Randle and Nance. I like the way that they played there. Offensively, I think you're still going to run into some problems because Larry Nance Jr. flat out will not shoot. There were a couple possessions where I think it was Porzingis was guarding him, and Nance was holding the ball at about 18 feet out and at no point looked at the rim, right? So that's still going to be a problem offensively. But what they started doing on offense, like I talked about earlier, was they really focused on creating as many opportunities as they could, and eventually, you know, you kind of stumble into a scoring opportunity just from sheer number of attempts you have at the basket. So that was good to see.
And, like, to me, the fact that none of these positives, like, we've been listing positives for almost 20 minutes now, and none of them are Ennis, just to me, like, reinforces the fact that, like, sure, the Lakers will probably keep him around until the deadline in case they need him as, like, you know, salary filler or stuff like that. But, like, that roster spot should be Caruso's, and they should, like, and Gary Payton the second should be their third point guard. And or they should at least give him a shot at that role, because it's just like, you know what you have in Ennis at this point. You just do.
Yeah, we've seen almost a full year dating back to when they acquired him, because they acquired him at the trade deadline.
And so, we have lived the Tyler Ennis experience for a year, and it's, you know, not an exciting existence.
All right, so we are going to talk a little bit about we've been super optimistic and positive, and that's been a lot of fun.
Did you guys think Anthony could stay positive for a whole podcast? Ha ha! Funny story.
You'll find out how I can't after the break. So, back to reality.
Doctors hate him.
Lonzo Ball has now been out for going on, what, 10 games?
No, not 10 games. He's been out, like, like 5?
The total. Right.
Oh, total. Yeah. Okay.
He's missed 10 games total at this point, and then in this latest string of games, he's missed about 5. It sounds like he might miss the road trip. Luke Walton was saying that he hopes that he can make it, but that he doesn't know for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to probably come regardless, but Luke Walton didn't sound super optimistic that he would play. But it sounds like the Lakers want to see him practice before he plays in a game, and they still haven't seen him practice. Like, the Lakers didn't have practice Monday. Looking pretty unlikely, I would say, for the Celtics tonight as we record this Monday, but it'll drop Tuesday. I don't think he'll play against the Celtics, and so we'll see if he ends up coming on that road trip with them.
At what point do you start to worry about the knee?
I think the Lakers probably are and should be a little bit worried about it now, just because it's like this is the second time this year when there's been kind of like, or this isn't a knee injury, this is an ankle injury, isn't it?
No, Ingram. So the injuries that the Lakers have incurred recently, KCP hurt his Achilles. Brandon Ingram hurt his ankle, but Lonzo Ball tweaked his knee posting up against...
Oh, no, you're right. It's sprained left knee. I'm sorry. I mixed up him and Ingram.
Yeah, he tweaked his knee, I think, posting up against the Mavericks
against
rookie.
The Mavericks.
Yeah.
And then it, like, really swelled up on him. He, like, ended up playing more, but it ended up swelling up on him the next day. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason I'd be a little worried is not just because I have an anxiety disorder and I constantly worry, but it's also because I think, you know, like, this is the second, at least, injury for Lonzo this year where there's been, like, a little bit of, like, an ambiguity to it where it's like, well, you know, like, we aren't really sure when he's going to come back. Whereas, like, most guys, there's a pretty distinct timetable for whatever their injury is. And the Lakers seem to really just be playing it by ear a lot more with Lonzo than I think I can really recall them doing with a lot of guys. And so I think that's maybe one reason for a slight bit of worry.
Here's where I'm actually going to be the more positive one here. I'm not as worried. Yes, it is worried that there is ambiguity to it, that he kind of tweaked it and then he woke up one day and it was just really sore. And then that has led to an extended, at this point, period of time where he hasn't been able to come back. And he can't do on-court agility drills, and that's a little concerning. All that said, I'm not quite that worried because the Lakers were always going to be hyper-cautious with this, right? They were always going to be –
He is the franchise right now. Yeah. Whether you agree with that or not, to them, he is the franchise.
And he is the franchise at a time when they aren't – positioned for a playoff contention, right? They will in no way, shape, or form will they have an opportunity to try to play themselves into playoff contention. And with that being the case, you just have to take your time with them. And maybe it's an opportunity to find out whether Brandon Ingram can carry a larger load over the course of a season. Now is when you're going to find out over the next couple months what you really have in Julius Randle and what you might be willing to pay him if they aren't going to trade him. You're going to find out about Caruso. You're going to find out about Gary Payton II. What Lonzo does, because of the way he plays and because of the way they lean on him, is he does lighten the load for people. So you might get some fool's gold when you see guys looking extra comfortable on the court. And now that he isn't there, you're pushing the boundaries with some of these guys. You're gonna find out what these guys are really worth, or what they can really handle, and I just don't think we've reached a point here. Now, if we get to a scenario where he's missed weeks, multiple weeks, heading on, you know, as we near a month that he's missed, then fine. Tweaking a knee shouldn't lead to missing an entire month. But for right now, just considering everything that they have at stake with Lonzo, it's not worth getting yourself too worried proactively when there's plenty of other stuff to be concerned about.
To be clear, like, I don't think that there's any reason they should rush him back or anything like that. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. I just think that it's just a little weird to me that we just haven't had specific timelines, because even if teams, like, generally it seems like they give a timeline, even if it's like a little bit of a pessimistic one, and then the guy comes back early. Whereas with the Lakers, it's more like, well, we're just gonna kind of like play with it. And, you know, maybe in some ways that is a positive, because it means that they understand how important he is and that there's no basketball reason that they should rush him back this year.
So what you're saying is this front office has learned from the previous one and does not want to put any kind of timeline on anything ever.
Yeah, no deadlines, no arbitrary deadlines for anything. Just a guy gets hurt, they're like, well, he has an injury. He'll be back at some point, maybe, hopefully. Official statement from the Lakers.
What time's the next game? We'll find out. We'll see.
We'll figure it out. We're just going to play it by ear. Like, you know, time, it's such a restrictive concept that, you know, Rob Pelinka, he wants to get a little bit more deeper and more spiritual into things.
What is time but the rate at which a bunch of rocks circle around each other in space?
Exactly. It's like when he says that Magic Johnson calls him at 5 a.m. every single morning, like, that doesn't bother Rob Pelinka, because Rob Pelinka doesn't think that we should be constrained by time, you know? Time is what you want it to be. If maybe 5 a.m. for Magic Johnson is Magic Johnson's 9 a.m., who are we to say?
Rob Pelinka is a huge fan of eating breakfast for dinner, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe, big Brenner fan.
All right, that'll do it, though.
That was the weirdest. I did not expect that turn.
It's good to be back.
Anthony, real quick before we wrap up, do you think the Lakers should trade their entire roster for Giannis Antetokounmpo now that Jason Kidd is out? And would that theoretically work under the cap?
It would not. When I tried it on the trade machine, it said that I had to take $70 million off of the table. So I don't.
Maybe you could get the Bucks to send back Giannis and $70 million in cash considerations.
It worked for Scarface.
Yeah,
what do you think about this? So there was some theory out there. I forgot who tweeted it out, but the concern that Luke Walton is looking at the opportunity to coach Giannis and is looking at this Lakers roster and potential micromanaging coming from on high, and he might say, you know what? It'd be kind of fun to coach those guys over there in Milwaukee.
It would be weird if the Bucks house of cards another coach after the whole thing with Jason Kidd. The Bucks just are incapable of hiring a coach that's actually unemployed. They just have to hire a currently hired one.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke, but I will hold off on that joke because you would get really angry. We're just going to end this podcast. We're going to end this podcast before I make a joke that makes Harrison want to quit the show. So, thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Once again, Harrison, thank you very much for stepping up as you have over the last couple weeks.
Anthony, I do it for the fans. They don't particularly like you anyway, so I'm happy to come in and like be the cool dad that comes home every so often and just like helps them out.
I wish that I could disagree with that assessment, but you're 100% right. Have a great one, everybody.